and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogbeli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenlies.
Okay, I want to talk a little with us tonight on the only condition. God's only condition for having sex. In this spiritual, God doesn't get involved in intercourse until there is marriage. In the natural, he hates it when people get involved without marriage. Now, we have created the word marriage. I don't even know yet if I can prove it that God has used that word before. What he created is covenant. Covenant. Now, the process of cutting covenant in order to bind two people into one, we have a word for it today. We call it marriage. Now, if you look at the very words that were used first, he said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. As sex. Becoming one flesh is having sex. And then it's also a process, the result of doing that. But living is what happens then to two people together. Separate, they happen as they leave their families. Cleaving is what is called covenant. There is cleaving before intercourse. Covenant. And that word covenant simply means an agreement between two people. That word covenant means commitment that two parties make to each other. A covenant has obligations. And then a covenant has benefits. The cutting of covenant gives the parties rights and privileges, but imposes on them responsibilities and obligations. Actually, life is freer without covenant because covenant brings restriction. Before God gets into covenant, or before God got into covenant with Israel, because I want to look at their case, God was free to do anything he likes. But by the time he marries Israel, he cleaves to Israel because God addresses Israel as his wife. Just like today he addresses the church as a wife. Before God cleaved to Israel, he could do anything he wants. They can pray, he can decide not to answer. He can decide not to appear. They can be fighting, he can decide to turn his eyes the other way. But after God cleaved or married Israel, after God entered into covenant with Israel, he lost certain freedom, he lost certain rights. God lost certain rights. As powerful as he is, there are some things he can do. You see, in the afternoon, we're telling you that to establish a nation, you need a covenant. What is going on now in Nigeria is that There is no covenant binding. Do you know how many tribes that we have here? So one group in the south are trying to jive. Initially it was the north that didn't want to be involved. Finally the east, because a certain thing happened, decided to jive. And when the east wanted to go, they discussed with the west. And Awo said, just declared it in, we too will jive from here. Yeah, you jive from there. Because as at that time, the North has seen the importance of holding the system. At the initial time, they didn't. They saw it as a problem. So, you see, you might not blame Chief Awolowo by when he made that a statement that Nigeria is not a nation. It's just a mere geographical expression. Because the gathering of people doesn't make a covenant. The people must live wherever and cleave. You don't yet have a strong church till you have a church covenant. Church is not something you jump in, tomorrow you jive. It's a marriage. It's a marriage. The discipleship school, when people get born again, the foundation school is to prepare them, apart from helping them clear a few things, is to prepare them to now get into a position of strong covenant with God and then with the local church. IPIC. You want to understand how to build a nation, just understand how to build a family. You want to understand how to build a church, just understand how to build a family. Anytime you get confused, return back to family. Look at the system there and you will get yourself back in shape. God's laws for building nations is the same law for establishing a family unit. Of course, you can't establish a family, you can't establish a nation. From family, he gets communities. From communities, he gets cities. From cities, he gets nations. And for us here, we'll talk about zones and regions before we talk about nations. That's the way we're broken it down. So when he said to a couple, the vision is to raise a nation and the whole and the whole world populated with people, he gave the mandate to a couple. He didn't give the mandate to a community. He didn't start with a community. God laid the foundation of a nation by building a family. And God laid the foundation of the family by establishing a marriage covenant. Because at every level of growth and expansion, what will hold community covenant? What will hold nation covenant? If we get representations of all the major tribes in Nigeria, if you want to create what is called national integration, unity in this country, there are key elements that we need. We first have to decide who the God of Nigeria will be. If it's Olokun or Amadioha or Allah or the water spirits in the south, or we have to decide if he's the creator of heaven and earth, irrespective of what people call it in their tribes. Because in every tribe, they have expression for the God of creation, the possessor of heaven and earth. If we accept that he is the one, then it has created a reference point for right and wrong. That nation cannot drift apart because they have to obtain their moral focal point, their anchor, their compass, moral compass from him. That's why of the Ten Commandments, the most important is number one. If we miss number one, we cannot reverse the misfortunes of Africa. No matter what else we get right. We have to know from where we get our sense of right and wrong. Because Amadioha might allow 10 wives, might even allow human sacrifice. and Oloku might allow occult and human sacrifices. And you see, the water spirits, the queen of coast, some worship might allow immorality of different levels. But there is one God who has a sense of value, who has a standard that when observed is good for all. He doesn't recommend for me to sacrifice you so I can have money, because he doesn't tolerate at all shedding of anybody's blood. He doesn't allow taking another man's life. He doesn't allow taking another man's wife. He doesn't allow me violating your property. But if you think that God is not the best, that we prefer the other one, we have to. The reason for all the problems we have had in Africa is that founding fathers of our nations served strange gods, were involved in occult, broke the first commandment. And once they do that, it violates every other thing. The rest will not work. You don't expect a just system of government when the man and his belief system allows him to sell you, allows him to kill you, allows him to maim you. When people worship idols, human lives don't have value in their eyes. When people are in occult, blood don't have value in their eyes. There is a God that made us in his image, and he confers on us dignity the same way he confers on himself. Anytime we fail to worship him, we degrade our own values. When you watch pictures of Rwanda genocide, of what happened in Somalia and many of these countries, and then watch to see that this kind of thing happened from one African nation to the other. Apartheid in South Africa, all kinds of things. You see what happens when the human beings lose his sense of humanity. And sometimes we are the most dangerous creature on earth. We are worse than lions. We are worse than the cobras. Because we can literally become demons. We take on Satan's nature and sometimes become worse than him. If there is a way to contest for presidency in heaven, some men will have collected it from the devil. You will see. I'll be showing you, possibly in Abuja, because I want to have it. 50 years of African independence, one country after other. I'll project these views. You see things. Our presidents eat people. Some sacrifice people every morning. When they leave, you see the records from one country to another is millions of people that died. You know, Idi Amin just hanged around for those few years and he left a massacre of over 300,000 people. Obote, the same thing, 250,000. That's what happens when people worship idol. That's what happens to them. So you have a political document in the Bible that tells what happens to your nation when you have this kind of leaders. The book of Kings talks about two sets of leaders. The kings of Israel, because the nation was divided into two. The unity of that nation broke when idolatry entered. The nation was divided into two. And 10 tribes formed the nation of the northern kingdom, the nation of Israel, and the other ones from the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. This thing has been pulling on Nigeria to break into pieces. And our leaders don't seem to know what to do to put it together. The crack is getting deeper. The crack is getting deeper. The Biafra and the advocates are just waiting for maybe hoping that the Southside guys will one day succeed with this so that they can use that opportunity to take off. And they are not the only one, because if any one group cracks, the middle bed people have been crying that these knots, they call them, they are not northerners. We might end up with about five nations. The day USSR cracked, a number of nations emerged. Russia is still, and you saw what they did to Georgia. They're still claiming them to be their ally, but they are not. They have become the allies of the West. And it's a big problem to Putin and his young son president. And by the time they finish dealing with Georgia, Ukraine and others vowed that there will be nothing again that will reunite them with Russia. Because now they are seeing that it's a good nation. What they did to Georgia is what one of these days they're going to wake up and do to Israel. But that day they will learn the biggest lessons of their life. God does not get involved in fellowship till he's sure of the commitment. That spiritually, fellowship is intercourse. As all this worship, all of these wonderful things. And then in the natural, there is sex. There's sex. Sex is in marriage, is the deepest form of fellowship. It's like taking Holy Communion. God planned that a girl should not allow a man enter her life that way until after covenant has been cut. God planned that a man should not allow a girl enter your life that way until after covenant has been cut. Commitment first. Sex second. I'm going to show you a few things now. As we try to restore the ancient landmarks, you will now see how far we have deviated from the boundaries. But God said we should never remove the ancient landmarks. Never. So people can find their way when they are getting lost. People can know where the moral boundaries are. Like how Jeremiah 6 said, stand ye in the way, search, ask for those old ways where there is life. Turn to it, Jeremiah 6. Then you will find life for your soul. Find it for me, put it. Yes, you can read it. There is a second coming for every Joseph. There is a second coming for every Moses. There is a second coming for every Jesus. There is a second coming for everybody who suffered unjustly. Is persecution a liability? No. He said, Joseph, a persecution. He moved him from shepherd boy to a business manager. When one more persecution came, they now moved him from business manager to private minister. You can't find a story of persecution that did not end with promotion. You won't find it. You will not. You will not, except where people failed the exam. Okay. The only condition under which God allows sex, that condition is covenant. So, we've just had fellowship. We need to know what church is and how to do it. Because church is a family. It's a family. The same principles that apply to natural family applies there. You have to. That's why I said you're going to prepare church covenants. What should bind us together? What should bind us as a people to God? And there are three major elements. There is leadership and the people. What kind of commitment do you think the leadership should have towards the people and the people towards leadership? And then what kind of commitment should the people have towards one another? And then finally, what kind of commitment should we have towards God and God towards us? what God wants has towards us is already written and is committed to it. He signed it with blood. It's our own end that is missing. It's commitment, matching commitment, that creates covenant. It's commitment versus commitment. If I take the vows, you fail to take, no marriage will go away. If God takes his own vow, you refuse to take your own, your part. If I sign that marriage covenant, you refuse to sign, no deal. If you are not ready for commitment, you are not ready for marriage. If you are not ready to lose some freedom, you are not ready for marriage. Because in losing some freedom, you gain some new things. You're going to lose some freedom. Some freedom. Some ladies don't want to submit to anybody. So stay a single girl. There is nothing like family. When you marry like I'm married, you will know why God gave created family. There is nothing else like it. When you enter Jaguar ministries and cut and join ministries, you almost regret the existence of church. There are people who wonder day and night, why did God create church? Why did God create marriage? Is this punishment from heaven? Because of the kind of marriage I have. If you are not enjoying your marriage, I want to help you. I'm going to help you this night. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
If you are not married, I want to help you avoid hellfire. Because there is no hell as hot as marital hell. If you have watched failed marriages, fear not. There is heaven on earth, and a foretaste of it is a good marriage. I have started enjoying heaven before the rapture. And, you know, you might think I'm just talking. I'm not. It's true. It's true. The foundation of a married life is a single life. Then the foundation of a family is a marriage institution. Have you seen how I'm going? Then the foundation of the church and society is the family. So if we take it from there, the foundation of the nation is a family. The foundation of the family is a marriage institution. Then the foundation of marriage is a single life. How you choose who you marry and how you get into marrying them decides the quality of that marriage. You may have chosen without knowing these things. You may already be in the system. You can also redress it. You can actually call for a solemn assembly in your family and call you and your wife apart and said, there are certain foundations we didn't lay right. We can get it right today so that our future will be happy, will be blessed. Amen. Each failed marriage is minor sin on the plan and purpose of God for humanity. He's hindering the plan of God for the nation. He's hindering the purpose of God for the church. And is adding additional burden to society. Each successful marriage is making the creation of a heavenly society possible. Is making the realization of God's vision for the church easier. Because in a marriage covenant, it's a triangular thing. So I will talk to you about the marriage covenant first. It's a triangle. You put a triangle on that place. Put God on one angle, the man on the other, and the woman on the other. It's a triangular thing. And the implication is, take note of that. Take note of that, because I'm sharing the kingdom now, and the devil want to steal it for some people. The implication is three people are supposed to gain by the success of this marriage, and three people are supposed to be committed to it. The weight that carries a single marriage is resting on three legs. This chair is standing on four. Marriage stands on three. It's a three footstool. God, the man, and the woman. I always say this. Any wife that does not encourage the husband to get into a closer relationship with God will be the one to suffer the consequences. Because the more he submits to God, the more he loves you. Because God will not allow injustice. He won't allow oppression. The further away he stays away from God, the more that backsliding will reflect in your marriage. It will tell on your own head because you are the one that will suffer it. The design of marriage is that a woman is to submit to a man that submits to God. Don't marry a headless man. Don't marry a man that is not under authority. If you marry a rebel, you will pay for it. Don't marry a man who has nobody he fears. Don't marry a man who has no pastor. Don't marry a man who has no government, no authority over him. That's why, because of the collapse of God's government in the hearts of people, Christianity has tried to establish another point of control for men. Because men are dangerous creatures without control. Every human being is a dangerous creature without control. Man is a powerful machine that God created that is not meant to run without a driver. It's been proven that on our left to ourselves, we destroy ourselves. Left to ourselves, we are dangerous to our neighbors. Starting with the ones we love most. Many a time, the worst side of people come out in their own home, starting with their own wife. A lot of people are more generous outside than at home. A lot of people are the people who meet them from distance are even the ones who see the good side of them. It's the people that are close to them that are most wicked to. It's amazing. Because marriage tests character. It reveals who you are. You can't hide your true self in them. If you truly have it, it shows that. If you have learned to walk in love, it will show. If you have not, marriage can reveal your level of Christianity. Don't marry a man. This is one of the strongest things. Don't marry a man that is not under authority. Check his level of sold-outness. How sold out he is to God. Check how he respects the authority that God has created. So Christian nations have found a way because they know that some men are so rebellious against God, they are so prodigal, and since they won't stay in church, submit to spiritual authority, they took control and gave to government. So they created laws and constitution to penalize certain wayward behaviors. Some of them created in such a way that even if you want to go like that, you will lose half of your property. It will be a deterrent. To you are worth $10 billion, you want to play with that lady and go, you will be dropped to $5 billion. There are all kinds of deterrents they created that they put years of imprisonment to playing around when you are after making commitment. They are enforcing, you know, that commitment you made against you. So even though they did it to protect women, because women are already placed under man's authority, it's the man that needs his own check. And God stepped in to be that check. That's why he needs to be there. So I also want to say that if you're wise, look at the triangle. When you look at where God is, does he only touch man or man and woman? If you look at where the man is, does he only touch God or God and woman? If you look at where the woman is, does she only touch her husband or husband and God? You are married twice. Successful marriage is being married twice. It's like being born twice. That's what I call Genesis chapter 2 marriage. There is chapter 3 marriage where God is removed from this equation. Okay, draw a line. Push the triangle up and draw a line. Put man on the one end and woman on one end. That's another type of marriage. That's Genesis chapter 3 marriage. That's what you find in many families. You draw a line. You put man on one end, woman on the other end. So, two boxes, man and woman like this with a line in between. So, keep the triangle safe, then you do another one under. That is the triangular principle is God's ideal. Is God's actually perfect will. That's God's will. The linear bonding is a covenant that has nobody involved to enforce. Who enforces it? Oh yeah, I love you. I love you too. Will you marry me? Yes. Okay, I promise you I will never leave you. How do I know? The day you do it, what happens? It's nobody. That's why there is even another triangular one they do with Satan. In ancient times, they would take them to a form of deity to introduce another god. But the issue is this. Once Satan is involved, he brings all of his characteristics in. There are a lot of things that will be in that marriage. Most of the time, the woman will be enslaved because Satan is not a god of justice. But there are certain things you do, he can come after you. He does it because they also build on covenant. Even the occult, there are some conditions and covenants. The devil will come for you, and he likes such opportunity. He likes it because he's merciless. If you fail in executing the marriage contract, there is no amount of I love you or that will correct it. It's a foundational problem. To lay a proper foundation for family, your marriage must be covenant based. The power that restores that marriage puts it back in order. When things go wrong, must be the covenant. And it must be God, you and your wife, and the commitment that holds the three of you together. For example, it must be the commitment of two of you to God and the commitment two of you have to one another. The same thing with church. There are marriages that can't withstand weight. They can't withstand anything. Because they don't have very serious thing holding them. So what the Christian nations have done is that they've also designed society and put some laws there to hold people accountable. They put more protection in it for women because the order then used to be men abandoning their wives and children. After he got a woman with 3 kids, 6, 8, 4, it's easier to now escape responsibilities that you committed to keep and leave her and go and collect fresh ones. So, but the wonder now is that in the Western world, it's even the women are beginning to even abuse that provision that was meant to protect them. They are now busily taking advantage of it. Because they've also found out that some of these are enforceable. Instead of respecting my husband, if he talks, I talk. And he abuses me. If I start crying, they will come here and remove him and leave me with the house. If I abuse him and he raises his hand to slap me, I can start screaming. Please will come here and take him out. There are cases that even the wife is crying. I'm sorry, I want him back. They say, you cannot near that house. You know, when there's a marriage problem, who seizes the house? It's the woman that the government protects. And we don't have any marriage thing being enforced here. So the ladies are, we now sit in marriage and start dating another guy. The guy is probably doesn't have much. He sees that this girl, the husband is rich. And if I get her too, it's half of that money. And that half might be $50 billion. He sees the fastest way to become rich. Is that talking to her? I love you more than anything. I worship even the place you step on. You will need and be cleaning her shoe. You will wash her pants. And she will get home. She will start looking at her husband. Say, what kind of beast is this? I go out there, men are worshiping me. I even have one or two of my relatives affected by it. The men are worshiping me, and then this man doesn't even appreciate. Then she jives, cracks the family fortune into two, collects half, run off with that prodigal son. Then the guy collects what he needs to collect and jives. Because nothing is enforceable until there is marriage. He moved into my house, he slept with you, you did this for him, you had 200 abortions, nothing is enforceable. There is no commitment. There's no commitment anymore. There's no commitment anymore. In Israel, when they find it out, they stone the girl. They say because she's playing whoredom in her house, in her father's house. And she has done what ought not to be done by a daughter of Zion. If a Jewish girl has slept around before getting married, she really has to make sure that that man will protect her. Because if they get in there, he finds out and he talks, he's dead. He's dead too. She dies on her wedding night. Amazingly, at that time, they don't say, where is the man that did it? They don't say it. This is how you marry. This is the most important thing about marital success, not how you are feeling. The love shocks me in the back or shocks me below. All those kind of things. Some of the worst case scenarios where the people don't see eye to eye. We are once in love and so much in love. Of course, there are cases of murder where you kill the person. Those people used to be in love. Love has a place in this. Love is not what makes marriage work. If you get a foundation, love will keep abounding. You don't get it right, love can be assassinated. What will be your concern when you are about to say yes to a guy? The first thing is that you're supposed to. Because marriage is a symbiotic relationship. It's built for the enjoyment of the woman, the man, for the benefits of the woman and the man and God. It's also built for the benefits of the children that will be nurtured out of that family. Take note of that. If anything goes wrong with the commitment, you have doomed your children to a lot of suffering and heartaches. a lot of. In getting this right, you have protected those girls that you come out of your loin, those boys, and you have protected God's purpose. Because when God brings two people together, he doesn't just bring them for them. He brings them for a higher reason. And that higher reason, why there, he also brings them for each other. He brings them to meet each other's needs, and he brings them to accomplish a dominion mandate, an aspect of his purpose for humanity. So, the bringing of Pastor and I, God knew that the whole weight of leading this ministry to success will require a team that will be unbeatable. So, the purpose of God for creating marriage is to give a man a companion, to give a woman a companion. But secondly, is to create partner, teammates. So the two of you can play and win that World Cup. So, there is a purpose for this. Okay. Do you want to be a happy man? Bring Mike. I need two mics now. Amazingly, you are all pastors. Do you pastor in any form? Whether it's cell or?
Psalmist, sir. Huh? Yes, psalmist.
Psalmist. Every one of you listening, what did you tell that pretty girl to confuse her head? Colette Mike.
That I didn't have a six-figure bank account. That, but I know I'm going, can see it. The future is beautiful. In fact, it's great. And then I finally thought that she completes me. And I don't think I've said this before. And the day I proposed to her, I had just $200 in my pocket. So I used it to buy malt for her.
You used what?
I used the money to buy malt to drink. And then I cooked.
This guy is married to a banker, assistant manager of a bank that is earning. And you use 200 naira to come. There is something you know, girl. You ask some boss, he say, because I don't have car, that's why I can't get a good one. Who told you that? The number one problem of a girl is not your car. That's what a lot of our people think now. You don't know how to market yourself. You don't know how to market your future. And not to come to a girl and start bragging about who you are, what you have, and all that. No. It's to make her not only that I love you, when they hear that one is good, then they are waiting for, you know, God so loved that he, they are waiting for what will follow it. Jesus loves you, when other things start happening, he died for you, what he would do for you, if you, all those wonderful things. That's, you know, in wooing a woman, Satan understands that job very well. You told her you don't have, but that there is a bright future.
But it was great.
And that is great.
And I can see it.
And what is her place in that future?
I just affirmed her, sir. Because I think that's all they need. It's not it's not about the money. The money is not their problem. They know eventually if you're a child of God, you will get there. And they know if my wife could see it then. I wasn't trying to impress anybody or her for that matter. I knew what I felt for her, and it was strong. So I just went the way I was, just stood at sea. And she went with it, and I told her, this is your place. Nobody can ever take it. Nobody. And I will sacrifice anything for you.
Are you hearing those raps?
And it's true, sir. It's happening, sir.
I need a typical woman, a real woman. Who is a real woman here? Who can tell us what a woman really needs? I think they need money somewhere. But let's say, what does a woman, what is a woman really looking for? When a man comes to you and is expressing love, toasting and all that, why is it that sometimes you are not sure of him? What exactly are you looking for? That if you find, you can settle. Who can tell me? Any real woman, yeah. Come and try. What exactly is a lady actually looking for?
Pastor, beyond the words, women somehow are intuitive. They look beyond the words to your action. After the words, what are you saying? What are you doing?
Well, you like the words.
The words are good, but they can be very empty when you're not backing it up with actions.
But you still like the words.
Yes.
Do ladies like the raps? Eh? They do. They are frustrated with brothers who don't know how to rap. They want the raps. Sometimes they want it even if it's empty. But then, somewhere along the line, you have to deal with whether there is enough money in the account to back up this guy's words. That doesn't mean whether he has the money, but whether there's enough integrity to do what he's saying. So, the action. What do you mean by action, for example?
Pastor, they want to know that what you're saying is true. Not necessarily giving them the millions. They want to actually know. If you say you care for me, you might not have money, but you have to sow something like time. You don't need to buy that. Give attention. There are things money cannot buy, and I believe they are the things they want.
Okay, I need one more perspective from the ladies. Because even ladies have colors and flavors. So, yes. Who can?
Like you said, Pastor, what they hear. They want you to tell them the real things, not fake things.
Mm-hmm.
Then,
can I get some ideas of what those real things are? For example, if you tell a lady how beautiful she is, how you can't sleep in the night because you are thinking about her, is that fake?
It's not fake.
It depends on who is saying it. Or what?
Actually, it depends on who is saying it, one, and if the person means it. Because sometimes people can be sometimes you might not really be looking good, and somebody tells you, man, you are looking good. Of course, you know you're not looking good. It's a lie. So when you are trying to praise somebody, you should find out what exactly are you saying?
Love is like drunkenness. Sometimes you don't see that thing. And then that you're not looking good might also be self-image. People's self-image is stronger than what they see in the mirror. It's true. So the guy could be saying what he's seeing. He might think could have knocked him out. And then maybe because you have not gone to saloon, you think he's lying. He might not be lying. Do you know you can look at scattered hair and still see what you are seeing? So, but I noticed that you, the flavor I'm getting from your own end, you are particular about integrity. You want the person to be serious about what he's saying. You want what the person is saying to mean it. It will mean something to you if the words have substance. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
What else? What else?
Then, me in particular,
And really, if I'm a lady and you want to talk to me, this point you are making will be very important to me, to be honest. I want to know that there is substance in your words. It will make a lot of difference. You know, words are cheap now. So you want to say some other things, yes? Go ahead. Go ahead. All right, marriages came because you gave the correct signals. Sometimes you give the wrong signals and pull somebody who is not that. Before you finally start getting to commitment, let the person see who you are. I'm not talking about everybody. You go and start bringing out all the cockroaches in your cupboard and all that. That's not what we're talking about. But let the person really know who you are. What drives you? What makes you tick? And be sure that that's what he's looking for. Sometimes people are looking for something and they go to the wrong person for it. And I can't give them what they are looking for. You can't give what you are not. You can't give what you don't have. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's why there's no need to be fake. I like your deal, or Ken. I like your approach, my friend. There's no need to be fake because finally you're going to give somebody false hope. And then they will be looking for something and then it's not there. Disappointment has started early in marriage. It's not good. It's not good. Let people know. They love you better when you are even true like that. That's true. But I've also met a lot of ladies who told me, I enjoyed being lied to. I'm shocked. Yes. Just say it to me, whether it's true or not. Don't be saying it first. Mirror, mirror. Who is the fairest of them all? He says, and that's it. That's what she wants to hear, and she keeps hearing it. So what else?
Then I check out your values.
Values, yeah.
What do you believe? Because the truth is that someone that is in this kind of ministry and hears these things that we hear and, you know, check out, is this person actually living up to that standard? Does the person believe it? Like, I could remember one day you told me something, said that for the fact that all of us are in the same ministry, we hear the same things, doesn't mean that we all believe it. That you've all, okay, like you've taught us about sacrifice and stuff like that. So many people don't believe in it. What are the person's values, then is the person actually a Christian? Does the person just go to church and stuff like that? You know, you just check out so many other things. Beyond the talk, you start watching the person. Is it living the talk? Thank you, sir.
So you can see that she's integrity driven. That's how God operates. God hates flatteries. God likes praise and hates flatteries. He likes this thing that women enjoy. Good talking is here. But when you are saying it, he looks and it's not true. He can kick you out of his palace. He hates people doing lip service. But before then, let's know. What's a woman looking for? Guys everywhere, they're checking you people everywhere.
I know a woman would like a guy who really cares. Cares for her, not that he's acting. And another thing I look out for is somebody who can come to you and speak with conviction. And he's sure. He's not faltering. He's not, you know, he's not intimidated by you or by anything. He comes as he is. And he's not afraid of a no. Because sometimes people come and they come with fear. So if the person rejects them, you know, it becomes a problem. Instead of rejection, they actually
bros, children are here. Men that are sure of
themselves.
You tell me no. That you told me no doesn't mean anything. A woman's no should not turn to self-rejection. It looks like I've been talking to very strong value. I want to talk to somebody who talks about physical needs and other things. Not just I want integrity. I want you to be a real Christian. Tell me, you ladies, don't you like good things? Eh? Who can talk about it? Bring Mike. What do you think? What does a woman?
I think different women need different things.
Yes, I agree. Actually, but they are general.
Yeah, for me, growing up, I was very close to my dad. I was my dad's favorite. So I actually wanted someone who I can respect and love enough to leave my dad for. I'm so close to him. So each time he gives instructions, I go to the letter to ensure that I don't hurt him. So if I don't get someone who I truly love, there's going to be a problem because my dad will be running the family for me. And I wanted someone who I can really trust, someone who really knows what he wants and is ready to go out for it. Someone who I can submit to, someone who I can respect. Someone. I need a friend. And that was my first condition. Can you be my friend? Much more than being my pastor. Can you be my friend? If you're not ready to be my friend, then just go, because I share so much with my dad. I can tell my dad anything.
Can you tell your dad when you get child?
Yeah, I can. Even the ones.
Are you serious?
Even the ones I cannot
discuss
with my
mom. That's really a very powerful thing for parents to do.
Even the things I can't discuss with my mom, I can tell my dad everything the way it is. He knows everything. So I want someone.
That's a powerful thing. That's a plus for him. I'm telling you. And parents, you know, we have a lot of work in this issue.
So I want someone who I can go out, make mistakes, come up to you, and I'm not afraid to share with you. My dad might still flog me. That's after correcting me. He will flog me and show me where I missed it and tell me that the reason why he's flogging me is not because he hates me. And tomorrow, if I make another mistake, I still come and tell him. So I really wanted someone who I can trust that much, that I can misbehave, and I'm not scared to tell you this is how it is, and you're not going to throw me out because of it.
That's powerful. You see what I'm talking about? We're getting real. We are now getting real. And believe me, you can help people a lot because you are... Now, that's not to say that what the other one said are not important, are very important. Those aspects are very important, but I'm only trying to balance it that is not enough. When you find a man of God, he has values, he has integrity, it's important. But marriage is created to meet each other's needs. Since this is what you are looking for, this is what you do during dating. What people do in 90% of their dating time is telling each other how much they love each other and all that. Sometimes they sit down, just talking nonsense. There is time to express love. It's important. But what you're about to go into is a contract. So what you do is to negotiate, to bring the chips on the table. This is who I am. This is what I need. Because to have a marriage covenant, you need this man to be certain things for you. And to have it, he needs you to be certain things for him. To have a marriage covenant, she needs you to meet certain needs for her. To have a successful marriage, you need her to meet certain needs for you. Never try to build a marriage where one party is enjoying at the detriment of the other. It will be for a while. And I want to challenge every one of you. Don't go into marriage and be dying in silence. The design is mutual edification. What? Let me ask you. When you worship, does worship bless only God or does he bless you? Do you leave feeling better? That means everybody gets climax. It's only God that gets. If you didn't get, God didn't get. Worship finally gets to a release. And when that release occurs, you are in another world. We call it anointing, the presence of God. At that moment, he starts speaking. Impregnation. Pregnancy can be conceived at that realm, plateau, because seeds, prophetic seeds, ideas, words, intuitions, things from God start dropping. And if they hit a womb that is fertile, they conceive something. So you leave the presence of God after having worship. Oh, wow. Because everything God designs benefits the two parts. I get direction. I get a lot of things. I feel closer to him. He blesses me. He does things. That's how it is. But here is a problem. Some ladies live in this thing. You're not in slavery. And it's before you get into marriage that you lay the foundation right. That's why those who are already in it and call for a solemn assembly or say, please, sir. Maybe he's not hearing what you are hearing. He said, there's one thing Pastor taught. I think if we can take a day off to look at one or two areas, discuss about these are some things we should have done. We didn't. So, what do you do now? Is to discuss. These are my needs. Of course, in the case of I and Pastor Sarah, it was written. Because all covenants are supposed to be written. These are my needs. I need. Because sometimes, what you don't know is that sometimes, what people are looking for, you don't have it. That means, it's either they agree honestly that you can't meet this, or accept to have these other ones and miss this one. Because the worst thing is false hope. Somebody's coming with this expectation. Look at, these are high expectations. Okay, Colette Mike. Can you meet those needs?
And I believe I can meet these needs. I'm sure of it.
This is how to go into covenant with your two eyes open. I love you. I love you. You think it's love that you eat? Wait now. On the basis of this commitment, you make covenants. You make covenants. You take oaths. You make commitments. And then the blessing of God is asked. A marriage will do well. Marriage does not succeed because of the amount of emotion in its beginning. It succeeds because of the level of the depth of commitment in its beginning. Then, whenever covenant is made, there should be things done to remind people. We have created wedding rings. We have created wedding documents. But it's also good to have a form of reference point, what those words are that we give to each other. Because everything stands or fails on it. And then it's important to also have seasons to renew it.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogbwele. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879. 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900, 0805-315-3823.